Patrick Kagame, hello.
Hello.
When did you meet President Kagame?
Oh, it's quite a long time ago. We were together in the same high school. I think he was a year or two ahead of me. So it's quite a long time. It's more than 30 years ago.
You were working together inside the Ugandan army?
Yeah, we were working in the same Department of Military Intelligence.
So you were already thinking of maybe going back to Rwanda and start LPF movement?
Yeah, that was started in 1987. And still there, we still had Fred Wijema, he was still alive. Those were senior people. They were the ones calling for meetings, calling the officers who should attend the meetings, deciding where the meetings would be. And people would come and attend meetings, discuss, and then go back and see what was on the ground and then report back again.
When President Kagame became really the main personality of that movement, why him?
Why him is all the other leaders ahead of him had died. So it fell upon him to come and take over when the war began. He was not there. But by the time he came, Fred had died. So it fell upon him to, as the next person, I wouldn't say in line, but appropriately, it was felt that he probably should take off the leadership of the struggle, which he did.
So nobody was contesting his leadership at that time?
No, nobody did. And it's hard for the military to start contestations. It's not like politics. And remember, there was a war going on. There was no little time for the political niceties or democratic niceties that had to be put in place for him to take over. And by then, it was not like he was the ultimate man. There was the RPF. This was RPA. Things developed later that he took over everything. But at that time, there was the political group and then there was the military. So he took over the military.
And so when did he finally get to lead the old movement, LPF?
Well, it was gradual. During the struggle, of course, he was taking piece by piece. And by the time we got into government, I think in 1998, that's when he took over as the chairman of RPF and did away almost with everybody, including Bizimungu, who was his boss then as the president. So it was a gradual takeover of everything. And I say we all probably pretty guilty to that because it happened under our watch. We were watching these things happening. But because of the war, nobody had the guts or even to call for a meeting and contest some of these things that were happening. So practically the civilians were aged out and became just a military institution almost. But RPF in name.
Even after with Pastor Bizimungu and so on, he seems to be always the guy behind everything. When he was only vice president and so on, it was not like a decorum?
No. Of course, he was everything because everything depended on the military. So anybody who would bring up any political question would be accused of trying to subvert the war or not being patriotic enough to see that there was a struggle still being waged. And not many people had the guts to stand up and say there is the military and there is politics. So he literally took over everything and nobody would talk, suggest anything that was contrary to his own thinking. So he became the ultimate man, the strong man as he's called.
And why you haven't contested? Was he? I don't know. Maybe the best for doing that job. Was not the case.
Best or not best, he was already there. So all you had to do is probably see how you can ameliorate the situation, how you can talk to him out of probably the evil things he was doing, and that's why some of us became casualties in the first place, because you try to say this is right, this is not right. This we are doing this correctly, this one we are doing correctly. And because he had that ultimate power, that absolute power, he started seeing any criticism or any suggestion to the contrary of what we think as somebody trying to be anti him. It became obvious that there was no difference between him and the state. As you guys in the French say, this l'état c'est moi, he had become the state. So that's where he is. And now that he has absolute power, he does anything absolutely. Nobody can question it.
In 1994, so in April, the plane of President Habyarimana crashed. You're accusing President Kagame of being behind this attack. Do you have some evidences of his involvement in that?
Obviously, if we didn't have, we wouldn't say that. So we do. You see, we are not speculating. We are not like those who are trying to investigate and suggest, the missiles came from Kanombe. What? We know where the missiles came from, who had them, who took them, who fired them. So why should we be speculating? We are talking about something we know.
But why you are not publishing it, those evidences, if you've got them? I mean, why keeping it?
We are not keeping it. There has not been any appropriate inquiry or a judicial inquiry. If you want people to go in the press and talk about this, this would end up in the press. But remember, this is something affected people. People lost their lives. They have relatives, they have friends who lost lives. And if I tell you this in the press, of course you're going to write. It is going to be published. It is going to be speculated for something. But it's not going to help anybody who lost a relative. So we always feel that it should be a judicial inquiry or judicial commission. I don't know what you would call it. So where people can go and tell what they know about it.
The French judge, Trevidic, never contact you in any way?
No, we don't know where they are. They have never come. If they do, we will tell them what we know. But we are not going to force them to hear us. Because if they want to listen to what we are saying, they will come here. But essentially, these are the French. Don't forget that these were Rwandese. So we feel that at one point, if it would be more helpful if it was a judicial commission by Rwandese. But that definitely has to come after Kagame. So we don't expect any judicial commission from Rwanda to do anything now. But the French have taken the liberty to do it themselves. We have not seen any of them coming here to make any inquiries or even discuss the issue.
Were you involved in the attack?
No, I was not. It doesn't mean that I don't know what happened.
So you were not in the position to know or prevent it?
Well, prevention, I wouldn't, because he's the one who decided it. I wouldn't say, don't do it. And he had made up his mind. But on knowledge, of course, we have the knowledge.
Why shooting this plane?
Well, he believes that any opponent should be killed. And at this time, because of Habyarimana, I think it was a way of taking total power. Because this was a man who had just signed an agreement of power sharing, whether he was delaying or not. If I delay to arrive at the place, you don't kill me. You follow it up and make sure something's done. You don't, kill me because I've not done something in a certain time. Because many people come up and say, Habyarimana was dilly-dallying, he was looking at this. And I'm not absolving him from some mistakes. But whatever mistakes he could have done didn't warrant his death.
You were chief of the external service for about 10 years, something like that. And you were removed from that position in 2004. Can you explain the circumstances?
It is a result of disagreement. We have had a series of disagreements with Kagame on the way he was leading the country in terms of governance, in terms of human rights, in terms of democracy, in terms of the Congo War. All those were accumulating. So, and it had gone on for a long time. At one point, I could realize we were not getting anywhere. I asked him to leave me, go and do my own things. He refused. 3 years later, he ends up jailing me, not once, but twice. So it was political disagreements, nothing personal.
Nothing personal, but you were friends.
No. Of course, we were friends, but I was a government official. I was not there to please him. Being head of intelligence, I think one of the things is to tell him the truth, whether the truth is bitter or not. So the fact that he couldn't take it and he thought he should turn it against me, I think time will absorb me. Even what is happening now, absorb me from the fact that I didn't hide what was happening. It's what is unfolding now.
And what did you tell him, for example? What kind of ugly truth you were telling him?
But it was the usual. If it is the justice system, I was telling him that what we are doing was not correct. If it is the politics in terms of democracy, freedom of the press, the Congo War, the second one, all those things we discussed and we disagreed. But because probably this was not done in the public arena, people don't realize that there was an ongoing sort of cold war between us.
So there were kind of a lot of dissension between RPF officials for years.
Yeah, they're there, but mystery it is the military and him. The other civilian officials really know nothing about it. So it's not only me, there are others who were opposed to it. Some have become casualties, some have decided to keep quiet forever. So it's a matter of choice. You either come publicly and he hangs you. Some have died, some have are in prison, others are in exile like us. And it will continue as long as he continues in that line.
Well, you were saying like you opposed the Second War of Congo. So it means that the First War, you were for it.
Yeah, definitely. The First War had legitimate reasons for waging it. Because of what was happening across the border, the camps, the reorganization, it was either we deal with it or they deal with us. So that one was legitimate, and Mobutu was there sponsoring them. The Second War, we could have talked. We didn't have to fight. And as you see, we got nothing out of it. We are still reeling from the same problem. RCD, CNDP, M23, and whatever M27 probably will come. It is not helping Congo, it's not helping Rwanda, it is just causing commotion and suffering in the region.
Bosco Ntaganda was one of the head of CNDP faces charges in ICC court. Are you ready to testify his trial?
Well, I don't know whether I should do that, but if the tribunal feels there is something they need to know from me, I would definitely cooperate with them. But I think they are trying the wrong man. They should be trying Kagame, not Bosco Ntaganda.
Why?
Because he's the one who picked from Rwanda and took him to Eastern Congo. So why are you dealing with the symptom, not the disease itself?
So you're claiming that Bosco Ntaganda is Rwandese and not Congolese?
Yeah, he's Rwandese. We're taken from the Rwandese army and taken to Rubanga and supplied with arms and everything. So when he's causing all these problems, I think the culprit should be Kagame, not Ntaganda. Ntaganda was deployed. So there is even the command responsibility.
Where does it come from? From which army corps? Where it was based?
He was in the Rwandese Defense Force. It's not like we have Air Force Defense. He was in the army. NCO, non-commissioned officer. Most of those that have read the rebellion came from Rwanda anyway. So Ntaganda is not any special. Itikunda beat Ntaganda beat. All these guys who are fighting, most of them were trained in Rwanda, others had fought in Rwanda. So that's why I'm saying they are just dealing with the wrong guys. They were deployed.
Bosco Ntaganda came back to Rwanda and went to the U.S. embassy. So it was not with the help of the Rwandese government?
Obviously, he wanted to save his skin. If he had handed over himself to the Rwandese government, it could have been a different story. Because I don't think they would have handed him over to the ICC.
Why did you fled the country in 2007?
Having tested prison twice and in the terrible conditions of isolation for 2 years, twice in 2 years, and when I got out, I was taken to the Ministry of Defense, harangued by these officers, some of who are in jail now, and others are in trouble in some sort or the other. But the important thing is that Kagame told them that he's going to come and deal with me for good, which worried some of them, and they sent me information that the time is over. I should not pray here. I should run away if I want my life. And there was no reason for me to doubt what they were telling me because they were giving me proof. So I left the country, and actually it was real. He tried to do the same here. That's why my colleague got shot. I probably was a bit lucky I went off without a scar.
Patrick Kagaya, thank you.
Thank you very much, too.